The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, on Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric here on Sports360AZ.com. Good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic and AZ Central Sports on a busy draft day. White Mountain Radio, you can catch us there, and of course on Twitter. You can hit me up at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T, or at Sports360AZ.com. In about 5 minutes, we're going to go to New York City. Eric Metz, Valley-based agent, the latest on his client, Greg Robinson, who may, in fact, be the number one overall pick tonight. Of course, Eric, right here in Scottsdale, representing Greg Robinson. Big angle around tonight's draft. We'll get the latest rumors that the agent is hearing. And from an agent's perspective, what is it like coming up hours before the draft? In about 20 minutes, we'll go to Dallas. Rick Gosling with the Dallas Morning News, lead columnist down there, great on the NFL. The big draft story today is that Jerry Jones has Johnny Manziel rated at number one on his draft board. How true is this? What's going on in Dallas? I know there's a lot of you bandwagon Cowboy fans, so we're going to go to Dallas and get caught up with Rick Gosling on that front. We'll also hear from Charles Davis from the NFL Network, Peter King today, Jake Plummer today, Carl Bradford today. Todd Graham is going to join us at some point in today's show on what he's hearing about the Sun Devils, in particular Carl Bradford, Marion Grice, and Will Sutton. So jam-packed, busy, busy show going a lot of different directions today. Of course, Eric is here doing his thing. Let's get you caught up on what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Who's going to be the big winner tonight? Winner, winner, winner tonight in the NFL with the draft. You could be the big winner at the Honda Resort and Casino this weekend. What are your plans? Why not head on up there, shoot? Head up tonight, but why not tomorrow and through the weekend? Get away from the hustle and bustle around the valley or around the state and check out the Honda Resort and Casino. You can stay there in the high country just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. That is the Honda Resort and Casino. All right, so here we are coming up on draft later on today. And the big story, I think, as I mentioned earlier, is coming out of Dallas. Now, there's a couple angles here. First, you have the reports in Houston today that the Texans are asking for 3 first-round picks and a number 2 in order to trade out of the number 1 overall pick in the draft. Does that tell you that they're not in love with any of the players at the very top of the draft? Does it tell you they think they can get an RG3 type of deal here on draft day? I'm hearing that Washington's getting hit up all over the place from the agent community. I'm hearing that Washington, Kirk Cousins' name is out there today as teams are trying to find a quarterback. Of course, we've talked about the Cardinals potentially with Mike Glennon down in Tampa Bay. So on this NFL draft day, are there some veteran quarterbacks that are being shopped? And from the Cardinals' end of things, let's just talk about the Cardinals. Are you better off finding a way to use some of your assets today to find a quarterback that's been in the league a year or two? Let's say it's Glennon, or maybe it's Cousins. Let's just throw those two names out there for the sake of argument, because we've heard about Glennon, but I've had some agents that said, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks, Brad, you better throw Kirk Cousins in the mix too. All right. So you hang on to your first-round pick, but if you find that quarterback, rather than today going out and taking Carr from Fresno State, or if Bortles is still on the board, or any of these guys, if they slide down that far, or if you're the Arizona Cardinals, are you better served to burn a pick or two on a quarterback that's already been in the league and you believe has more upside than the guys that are out there? See, I think it's really interesting the fact that the Cardinals did believe in Glennon a year ago. There's no question they had interest in him. So as he sits out there today, and in fact, if the Redskins were to decide, and I would be shocked if the Redskins, but again, we're talking about Daniel Snyder, one of the biggest goofballs in sports, can't get his team straightened out, would be shocked if they ended up trading away Kirk Cousins. But if those are two guys that are out there and I'm the Cardinals, I at least, if I'm Steve Keim, I at least pick up the phone today and leading up to tonight and try to work a deal for one of those quarterbacks, unless I'm so in love with any of these guys coming out this year. You don't have to take a quarterback at 20. I'd rather see the Cardinals take a safety at 20 myself. I don't think that there's a quarterback sitting there that I would be in love with to take with the 20th pick. So we're going to get into that as the show moves along. Let's go to New York, though, because I know Eric Metz is very, very busy. Valley Bay, Scottsdale NFL agent. We've seen Eric here in studio, of course, getting caught up with Eric on the week-by-week basis, the business side of the NFL. He's representing Greg Robinson. That's his client from Auburn. Eric, I appreciate you coming on draft day. What are you hearing about your client being the number one overall pick as we sit here about 7 hours from draft time?
Well, the 7 hours may as well be 7 days in this business. But everybody's pretty non-committal at this point. We have everybody from Buffalo, Atlanta, the Rams, and Houston all in intense discussions with us, but nobody's saying to anybody, as usually happens at this point, 7 hours before the draft.
So when would you know that Houston was legit? Is it right up until draft? Is it a couple of hours? What's the timeline?
I strongly feel they're shopping the pick like crazy. And, you know, the word around this building here, we're all in the same Essex Marriott Hotel here in Central Park, is that the Buffalo Bills are thinking, hey, we may not be here next year if Donald Trump or John Bon Jovi buys this team, so let's just trade away next year's number one pick and give them a second-round pick this year and move up to number one to get the guy that they want. And they're telling me it's Greg, but of course, Greg's never in Louisiana, and he's never been to Buffalo, so he's like, I don't want to go to Buffalo. I said, if it's the number one pick, find a way to like it.
But in that scenario, and we're talking with Eric Metz, joining us live from the draft, representing Greg Robinson. It's draft day. How much of that is a smoke screen at this point? Can you see through Buffalo moving all the way up and parting with the Red Sea to get that pick?
Well, I think the problem with Houston is they're not going to go down to nine. You know, they would have to find a way to go from one down to nine and get back up to five, which people are talking about the Raiders being willing to shop their pick, but... you know, if history's any guide, we have visited and worked out for five of the top seven picks, the two, the Raiders and Cleveland. So I'm thinking, well, he's probably going to end up in Cleveland or in Oakland, because it seems to be the team that never talks to you and ends up picking you in these scenarios. So it's really difficult to gauge, and everybody's, you know, the players and parents are, they're tighter than two coats of paint here. The lobby bar was pretty packed last night with very nervous parents and players. So we'll see how things end up tonight.
So to be clear, you're hearing Houston is trying to trade out of number one.
Correct.
And are there teams that you look at in your side, the agent side, that you better watch out for this team? You know, we're hearing an awful lot about Johnny Manziel and Jerry Jones today. Can you connect dots on that one?
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
Okay.
I don't think there's any chance that Manziel goes there. I think he's, I don't know if it's Cleveland or where he's going, but somebody's going to take a chance on that guy, and they're going to take a chance on him pretty high. I don't think he's sitting around by the time you get all the way down to Dallas's pick.
But would Dallas be a team trying to trade up? That's the reports today, is that Dallas is actively trying to trade up.
If they're trying to trade up for him, then that is a colossal smoke screen, because that's just not going to happen.
Okay. Anything else?
They're not taking that guy. I'll tell you one thing, though. Any girls out there that have a crush on Zac Efron, he's the tiniest little guy I ever saw. We were doing the Jimmy Fallon show last night.
Yeah.
And he made Jimmy Fallon look like The Rock. I mean, this guy was about 5'6", 135 pounds. He was frighteningly small. I was in shock when the little guy came walking by.
How do you keep your client composed at this point?
I'll tell you what, he's handled it pretty well. He's been through a lot of rough things in his life, from from having to move when he was a little kid with Katrina, and living in poverty and everything else. So I think he's just really excited for his family to get to experience all this. So it's their first trip to New York, and they've just been doing a lot of sightseeing, everything from the 9/11 memorial to, they got to go to the commissioner's office and Times Square and things like that. So they're enjoying the whole experience, but it's really nice. I think his mother and his grandmother are very proud. There's just a lot of tears, a lot of hugging him, that, they're glad that he listened to their lessons. They raised him right, and they're just wishing him the best and happy that he's made it to this point.
Before I let you go, so there's walk-up music, huh?
I heard about that.
Yeah. What is Greg Robinson's walk-up music there, Mr. Metz?
He didn't know who AC/DC was, but I said you should have Living for the Money. he never heard AC/DC in his life, so I'm not sure what he said.
Okay, one last bit of insight for the guy out there that says, man, I wish I was in Eric Metz's shoes today rather than being the lawyer, the this, the that. As your day progresses, do you walk out, clear your head, go into a workout mode? What do you do to pass these 7 hours of time? Because you're the man in charge.
I'm just going to go down and get a workout in now. I mean, the grass is greener mentality just doesn't exist in this business. It's so intensely competitive, and you see all the other agents running around trying to steal everybody else's clients. Not a lot of fun in that regard. You hope you end up with nice young men like Greg is, but it's a pretty tense 7 hours just getting everybody ready. His grandmother's in a wheelchair, so we have to make sure that that's handled correctly and he gets over with her. It's just a lot of logistical things, and it's kind of like our Super Bowl in our business. For an agent, draft day is like the Super Bowl, especially when you have a high player and you get the good fortune to come to New York City.
Last question: what does your gut tell you about the landing spot for your client?
Everything I'm hearing is number two to St. Louis. I mean, they won't commit to us, but they're very excited that how much they like him in both their visits and two private workouts. And he and the offensive line coach get along very well. And they're not saying they're picking him, but they feel it's a really good fit. And they're happy that he's excited at the thought of becoming a Ram.
Let you go off that. Appreciate your time. Know it's busy. We'll talk tomorrow if it's possible. Thanks.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
You got it, pal. There's Eric Metz there. Valley-based NFL agent. It's a great story. One of the backstories of the NFL draft is a Scottsdale-based agent is representing the number two overall pick, maybe. Maybe number one, but it doesn't sound like it. But the big story there, I think, is he's hearing Houston trying to trade out of number one at this point here in the middle of the day. On the other side, we're going to go to Dallas. Rick Gosling, longtime Dallas Morning News columnist, NFL insider. Okay, so what about these reports that surfaced this morning that the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones wants Johnny Manziel? Fact, fiction, yes, no's with Rick Gosselin. That's on the other side. The bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to be part with the Arizona Republic and White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Thanks again to Eric Metz, longtime agent, Scottsdale-based, from New York, at the draft. Couple of takeaways from that interview. One, he says Houston, no question, is shopping the pick all over the place. And two, his client, Greg Robinson, who most have slotted in at number two, he believes that St. Louis is the team that's looking at him, but they have not committed to anything as of yet, and that's 7 hours away from the draft. I think the other big story today, or actually the bigger story, is what's come out of Dallas today. And Rick Gosling joins us. It's always good to catch up with Goose, longtime Dallas Morning News columnist, NFL insider. So let's ask for just context of this report that Jerry Jones has Johnny Manziel rated number one on his draft board. What can you tell us on that one, Rick?
Dead wrong.
Not true.
They're not... Quarterback is not a priority. I said to his press conference, the pre-draft press conference, and he said that quarterback is not a priority for this team. Jerry Jones is about winning now. Tony Romo is starting a six-year, $108 million contract this season. Why would you take Johnny Manziel, even at 16, and have him sit for 4 years? With the money Jones has invested in Romo, he needs about four seasons, a couple division titles, and preferably a Lombardi trophy to get his money's worth. And I think drafting Manziel would undermine Romo. He said the other day that the quarterback is the strength of his team. Why would you use a pick on a quarterback who's not going to play for 4 years?
Okay, and then beyond that, what's the cap implications of Romo? Because there's big cap implications too, right?
Yeah, if you drafted Manziel and said he's our guy and traded Romo, you take a $30-plus million cap hit. Which would just devastate the roster. So So they're in with Romo for the longer haul. My guess, he'll be the starter here for the next at least 3 years, preferably on their case four.
So
but
these
the quarterback is not a priority for them.
These reports then are bogus. No truth at all.
No.
What direction? Let me put it to you this way.
I'm not even sure he's the number one quarterback on our board.
Hmm. Is there fan sentiment? I'm sure there has to be overwhelming fan sentiment when stuff like this gets reported that it must be God's truth, even though it's not, that fans would love to see Manziel in a Cowboy uniform.
In two Texas cities.
Yeah, yeah.
The Texas, their fans would love to have him as their quarterback, and the Cowboys love to have him. And they point out that Romo's 34, coming off two back surgeries. You need that second quarterback. But Jerry Jones is about winning now. He repeatedly said the other day, we're not in a rebuilding situation. You know, we're 8-8. We think we can get better. And he's not willing to take a step back with a rookie quarterback, especially one that doesn't figure to play for 2 or 3 years. So I just don't put any substance in those rumors. I don't think they even look at a quarterback until about the fifth round.
And the chance of we'd want Johnny would be from snap one in preseason. I mean, it would be unbearable.
Well, I tweeted earlier the second snap of preseason.
Yeah, no,
give Romo one chance.
It would be crazy. Yeah, first drop ball, get him out of here.
Oh, public sentiment. You know, they would take Johnny Manziel now. The fans here think they should trade up for Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, like you talked earlier, there's a $30 million cap hit. And you're also going to pay top 10 money for Manziel. That's a lot of money tied up in one position.
Can you trust?
And on a team that's so, you know, in the hole cap-wise, yeah. They'll be 25 to 30 over again next year because of the restructures they've done.
Can you trust Jerry Jones on draft day, though, Rick?
Not since Jimmy Johnson left the building.
Yeah.
No, this team wants to trade down. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may be afraid to draft at the slot they're assigned. I think there's a better chance this team trades down than trades up. They've never trusted the board. They've jumped around. You know, I think they've had some competitive boards. They could have good drafts if they trust their board, but they never trust their board, and that's the problem.
What does your gut tell you if they stay at 15 that they end up getting?
Well, it depends what's there. You know, I think this draft could take off in several different directions. If, let's say, Manziel goes 3 or 4 to Cleveland or Jacksonville, then I could see a second quarterback going in the top 10. I could see 4 offensive tackles going in the top 10. That's mm-hmm. going to push some good players down. If quarterbacks go, that'll push other good players down. I'm not sure what's there. I think if they had their choice, they'd want a defensive lineman, either Aaron Donald on the inside or Anthony Barr on the outside. They need an edge rusher. That's probably the number one need. If one of those two guys is there, I would expect the Cowboys to take them. But if they're not there, I think they'll try to get out. This is what they do. If they don't like the player that's there, they'll try to move back and pick up an extra 2 or 3.
Talking with Rick Gosselin, longtime Dallas Morning News columnist, NFL insider with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Before I let you go, teams that you're hearing or that you look at and say would not surprise to see them try to jump up in this draft to get in on the Manziel sweepstakes. Sticking with Manziel here.
Well, there are 6 teams in the top 10 that need quarterbacks. And I wrote a column the other day saying I think Manziel will go to a team with a defensive head coach.
Mm.
I don't think an offensive head coach who has an offensive system in place wants to turn the offense over to Manziel where it's so much freelance. I think a defensive coach wouldn't take that, wouldn't have that problem. I think a defensive coach would go for Manziel. There's 5 shots in the top 10. I'm not sure somebody's going to trade up. I think somebody would take him on the clock, though, 5 chances. I think what's going to happen, if Manziel goes in the top 10, I think the other 3 slide. And I think at 19, 20, 21, you may still have 3 quarterbacks on the board, and then the activity will begin because people will try to get ahead of Houston. All the teams that didn't get a quarterback, Tampa, Minnesota, Cleveland, Jacksonville, I think they would try to move up and get ahead of Houston and grab the Cars, the Bortles, and the Bridgewaters at the end of the first round there.
And I would throw the Cardinals in that mix potentially out here. I know that they liked Mike Lennon a lot coming out last year, and that maybe there's something there between Bruce Arians and the Cardinals and Tampa Bay as the day progresses. It wouldn't surprise me on that front.
And I wouldn't rule out St. Louis. They've got 2 picks in the top 13.
Yeah,
I wouldn't rule out the Cardinals doing something at 13 at quarterback.
Let's go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks, Goose.
My pleasure, man. Take care.
You got it. Rick Goslin there. Dallas Morning News columnist, NFL insider. Always good to catch up with him. Great insight. So we're going to hear from Charles Davis on the other side. Did we get Jimmy Fallon from last night, Eric? Did you?
We did. We're going to have it coming up in about 20 minutes. And if you didn't
funny.
See it, make sure you stick around because Jimmy Fallon, again, proving his versatility.
Oh, my gosh.
Proving
funny.
That you can pretty much throw anything at that guy and he can make it funny. So.
I mean, we just sat here for the last 20 minutes bringing up great stuff on the draft. Eric Metz from New York saying that the Texans are shopping the pick like crazy. Rick Goslin, no truth to these Johnny Manziel to Cowboy rumors that have been all over the place today. That's like the big overriding story that in Dallas, but Goose is on top of it.
But everything's a smokescreen. Who knows? I mean, that's a great thing. Let's just get to this draft so we can quit speculating and trying to decipher what these teams are thinking, because really the only people that know what they're thinking are the people that are inside those rooms.
Like tonight, I haven't decided yet if I'm going to go over to the Cardinals thing in Glendale or if I'm going to go to the Cardinals facility. You go to the Cardinals facility, it's pretty, it's nice seeing all my friends in the media and all that stuff. And
well, I'll be there. I mean, we don't spend nearly enough time together.
See my enemies like Eric and, yeah. You know. But it's always nice to go there. But this is one of those drafts where, you know, at 20, let's just say a quarterback slides. And I strongly would like to see the Cardinals take a safety tonight. I would really like to see them address the back end, because I think you can get through your quarterback stuff and start developing a quarterback next year. Next year, you're going to have Mariota, Winston, and Hundley. Okay. And I still don't believe that this is a Super Bowl team as we sit here in Arizona. Yeah, they just missed out in the playoffs. They have a much better roster. But if they're convinced, if the Cardinals are convinced that they're just a player away, I don't know. Do you burn your 20th pick on a guy that is not going to play this year in all likelihood? You open yourself up to quarterback controversy. I understand that you've got to develop somebody long-term. And I understand Carson Palmer doesn't have much tread left on the tire. I get all of that. But are you really of the opinion? And again, I have to defer to Bruce Arians on this. If he drafts a quarterback, because his track record doesn't lie. He's good at it. Here's Steve Keim on drafting a quarterback from this year's class. This was earlier, the general manager of the Cardinals.
And I think when you defend the safety, Bruce can attest, you're talking about linebacker safety in those positions. And I think that when you look at our board and you see where we have some of those guys valued, I think we'll have an opportunity to address at least one, if not both, of those positions.
All right. And that was Steve Keim earlier. We'll have much more as the show moves on. On the other side, Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, on Kadeem Carey, Johnny Manziel, who the Texans should take at number one, Will Sutton's stock dropping. An hour from now, Todd Graham is going to be with us. We'll also hear from Peter King before the show is through, and Jake Plummer as well. As we continue on, very busy NFL draft Thursday. A couple other things in my mind I want to get to before the show is done, too. I'm not going to forget about the other stuff in the Valley. I would like to forget about the Diamondbacks occasionally, but they've played better as of late. That'll be somewhere in this show, but more draft coverage on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Let me get notes from people about, okay, so you want somebody on the defensive side of the football, call them out. Well, Calvin Pryor is the guy I want from Louisville. That's who I would like to see the Cardinals take. I don't know if he's going to be there. I tend to doubt it, but I'm hopeful. I am hopeful that these quarterbacks go early. If the Cardinals take Blake Bortles at number 20, if the Cardinals were to take Carr at number 20, whew, and it tells me you feel like you've got a lot of safeties you can get in the second, third, fourth rounds. Is this the year to address the quarterback? You don't have to do it. Back away, walk away. Hang in there, better quarterback class next year, trade for Mike Glennon. I mean, there's just a lot of different scenarios going on tonight if you're a Cardinals fan. Charles Davis, NFL Network draft analyst, earlier with me about Kadeem Carey and his draft status, his view of Kadeem Carey and Arizona athletes. Where do you think Kadeem Carey fits in this year's draft?
it's a terrific question because I see all these different projections out there, and it's something that I work on myself. At NFL Network, where we are, the only person who puts out rankings is really Mike Mayock, and he does such a fantastic job. The rest of us haven't done that. There's been discussion about myself, Daniel Jeremiah, possibly doing our own combined rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things let me not talk for Daniel. I don't want to do that. I've got Kadeem Carey in my top five running backs. I mean, I don't see where he shouldn't be in the top five. I keep hearing all this concern about his so-called long speed, as we do every buzzword possible or buzz phrase possible as we get close to the draft. I don't care about that a heck of a lot. You know, Alfred Morris came out of Florida Atlantic and ran really slow, slower than Kadeem Carey did. I don't remember people saying that Emmitt Smith was a flat-out blazer. You know, these are guys who are good at what they do, run the heck out of the ball, eat carries. I mean, you ever heard of Kadeem Carey wanting to turn down one?
No.
No, of course not. And the guy has done it. Really, look at the offensive system he's been in with Rich Rodriguez. The first year, Matt Scott was really the principal guy, right? I mean, you had a real trigger man. Last year, the passing game was really sketchy for a long, long time. He had to carry the team again, even though he missed a game, almost the same amount of yards produced. I'm a big Kadeem Carey fan. I would say that if you were to press me about where I'd rank him, I said in my top five, Carlos Hyde from Ohio State is my number one running back. But I'd put Kadeem Carey up against just about anyone else I would rank. Jeremy Hill from LSU, Bishop Sankey from Washington. I really like Kadeem Carey. Got to see him in person once last year and was really, really impressed. And that was the Washington game where they were threatening to get blown out in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Kadeem Carey had a big hand in why they did not.
Charles Davis, you can follow him on Twitter. It's a good follow, at CFD22, CFD22, Charles Davis with Brad Sussmat, NFL Network analyst, Fox College football analyst, a man of many places. He joins Brad Sussmat here for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Is it a matter of running backs? We're just seeing them in a different light now, that taking a running back in the first round, second round, just because of the pure punishment they take, doesn't make that much sense unless it's the elite of the elite.
I think it's even less, Brad, the punishment than how we're utilizing them nowadays. It's a pass-first league. It's no longer a league where we're looking and saying, okay, hey, Adrian Peterson, get me a guy who looks just like him mm-hmm. that I'm going to stick in his chest 20-something times. That's how I control the game. You know what the funny part is about that? Who would you say were the best two teams in the NFL at the end of last year? I'm not talking about the Broncos in Seattle because of the Super Bowl, but who really at the end of the season when it was all said and done, who do most people acknowledge as the best two teams in the league? Seattle, of course.
Yep.
And I'd say San Francisco. Who led the league in the number of rushing attempts last year? Seattle and San Francisco were 1 and 2.
So your point is you have to have it.
You got to have it. I mean, the teams that win games control the ball with the run game in a big, big way. I'll put it to you this way. When you think of the New Orleans Saints, you think of Drew Brees first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, and you should. You think of that prolific passing attack. You think of Sean Payton in that, you know, Cheesecake Factory play sheet that he has on the sidelines. You think of them dialing up all these pass plays. Year they won the Super Bowl, you know they ranked in rushing in the NFL? Sixth. So when you're talking about teams trying to get it done, I still say those teams that can run it, play defense, open up the passing game that way, those are still, to me, the teams that you're trying to emulate and get to. Kadeem Carey fits that model for me. I think he's a tremendous player, and, you know, to me, turn him down at your own peril. We talked about him extensively earlier this week on NFL Network, and it was a fun conversation because I said right then and there, he's in my top five running backs. Where the people are going to decide to take running backs, who knows? But I know that this guy's a player. I don't care what the long speed says. Carlos Hyde ran 4.66 at the combine, although he pulled up. I don't know how much faster he truly is. You know, Jeremy Hill ran high 4.5s, I heard, at his pro day, so that means he's probably in the 4.6s as a general rule. I'm not too worried about that part of it. Kadeem Carey moves a pile when people try to tackle him. That's what I like. He catches a football out of the backfield. Does he have to learn pass protection? Not many backs that come into the league that don't. I can tell you that, coming out of the college system, most of them are not great pass protectors.
I had a couple people tell me, NFL people, that said how Kadeem Carey does at the board is going to tell them a lot about his draft status. And I think you could say that for anybody, really, Charles. But
Yep.
But I heard that even yesterday down in Tucson, that how he does at the board is really going to determine where he is. How does he how well does he really know the game? I don't know if that's a red flag that I've got people telling me that, or if that's just a fact with him.
I think it's a fact because of how much we throw the football. You cannot have your quarterback getting killed. I'll give you a quick here would be my comparison to something like that. LeGarrette Blount had a monster game in the playoffs last year, didn't he, for New England? Right? Wouldn't you ask yourself the question, if he can run like that and he has that type of ability, you remember how he hit the league with Tampa after he'd gotten cut by Tennessee after being undrafted, where he was just a weapon. I mean, no one wanted to tackle this guy. Why doesn't he touch it more? Why doesn't he play more? Because he's terrible in pass protection. You can't have him on the field in any passing situation. You're going to lose a quarterback. That's why he's been with team after team after team. So when they tell you how he does at the board, in other words, pass protection, understanding of offense, that's what people care about, and it's a real thing. It's not just a catch-all to say, okay, I don't want to tell you what I really think.
Yeah.
It is a catch-all. Now, the teams that grab guys like that that may not be the greatest at pass protection but still know how to utilize them to their best advantage, well, those are the teams we're usually talking about making playoffs. That would be the Patriots figuring out how to best use a LeGarrette Blount. He may not be great in pass protection, but boy, when we have opportunities to hand him the football and let him barrel over people, let's do that. Play to the strengths. It's like the old song, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess around with Mr. In-Between.
Charles Davis, NFL Network with Brad Sussmat. A couple other questions, we'll let you go. Where is your number one pick right now in Houston?
My number one pick is Jadeveon Clowney. I know that they are still discussing the quarterback heavy at that point, and they should be. They've got to make a decision about the future of their franchise, if the direction is going to be following a quarterback this year. To me, a lot more quarterback as we head to the draft, and we are 1 month away, 28 days away as we sit here today on Thursday, from the first round of the draft. To me, everyone's got to figure out, okay, with all these quarterbacks, is it worth taking one early? And if not, I'm willing to tell you right now, I think that we're very close to saying, guess what? We're going to the second round, and that's where the vast majority of quarterbacks will be taken. So I think Clowney still sits at number one. But if Houston does go quarterback, my instinct tells me that Blake Bortles would be the selection out of UCF.
How much do you buy into the theory that the Manziel camp has marketed this guy so well that any owner is just going to fall in love with him and overlook the shortcomings of he's one hit away because he's a little slight, as some say? Because the business side of Johnny Manziel has to factor in with one of these 32 owners, doesn't it?
I would think so, and that's why I've been consistent in saying that Jacksonville is a great spot for him. Because isn't Jacksonville the place we have a lot of tarps on the seats and we're worried about, you know, blackouts each week?
Sure.
And haven't they given away a game every year until Kingdom Come to go to London? And every time we talk about that a franchise that potentially could move, isn't Jacksonville one of the first names that rolls off everyone's tongue? Jacksonville is also the place that everyone was screaming, where should a certain quarterback that you have just mentioned, that you've just described, different guy, Tim Tebow, right? How many times did people say, Jacksonville, sell some tickets, generate some buzz? To me, that's what you say is truly in play with a ownership and a marketing group, but it's not in play with a pro personnel group, a GM and
it
scouts
shouldn't
and
be
people.
In play.
They're evaluating it entirely differently.
Right. It should not be in play. That's my point. But
your point is right on target, but you also are a realist. That's why you posed it that way. There's no getting around it that someone's going to do that. Look, years ago, and Brad, you've known me for a little while now, I have not gotten very many things right in my life. Trust me on this one, okay? When I look at it, and as Grantland Rice said, when the great scorekeeper comes to mark by your name, I don't know how many times he's going to put a check in the right column for me, okay? One I did get correct, I said in January of his draft year that Tim Tebow would be drafted in the first round. Someone would fall in love with Tim Tebow.
Yep.
Someone would be convinced that they could fix the throwing motion. The charisma of Tim Tebow would suck them in. It would take them, and it would do it, and I said, someone's going to do it. I got that one right. With Johnny Manziel, it's not the playing ability that you're worried about. You're worried about the rest of the thing. Do you really get to know him as a kid? Are we seeing the best side of him now as we approach the draft, and will he revert back to some of the things you worried about off the field with him before? Those are things you worry about. Is he small? Yeah. Is he slight of frame? Yes. Robert Griffin III wasn't huge, taller, but I think Robert Griffin III was probably around 215 pounds.
Mm.
So it's not a big difference. Teddy Bridgewater's a little slight in frame. Will he buy into taking care of himself on the field and get down and slide as opposed to being a little reckless as he was in college making plays? College, you can get away with it because most of the guys you play with in college that you're playing against, they have CPA after their names or MBA. The guys you're playing with the NFL all have NFL after their names.
That's a great
difference.
And one player here locally, before I let you go, Will Sutton was viewed as a first-round pick a year ago, Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year a year ago. Will Sutton did not have a great season this last year, has not had a good offseason. It's the biggest mystery around the draft in the state of Arizona.
I'd like to know what got in his head that he decided that he had to be 300-plus pounds.
Who was
Will
the one
Sutton
that said it to him?
Will Sutton at 280, 285? Wasn't blocked, was he?
No.
I mean, he was something. Last year, he still was good, but he wasn't making game-changing plays. Look, he was still voted, you know, what, Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12 and the Jacobs Award, which comes from the guys he has to play against. So I have to listen to that. That means something when it comes from your peers. But the same thing happens in the Pro Bowl, too. You know what they say in the NFL about the Pro Bowl? You usually go a year too late because it takes a while for your rep to catch up. And then you go a year longer than you should because your rep has held firm. I think that might have helped Will Sutton a little bit this year because I think at 280, 285, we're talking about Aaron Donald, who now has risen to the top of most draft boards as a defensive tackle, correct, from Pitt? You look at Will Sutton at 300-plus pounds, I didn't see the same bounce, vitality, life, and it continues to push him down the draft board. He, as you said, his off season has not been terrific either. He hasn't made that move, that change, that charge up the board when people see him in individual workouts and at the combine. And that, frankly, has puzzled me a little bit because I thought he was a terrific player 2 years ago. Now he's in that pack of other guys. And Will Sutton, I thought, was a much better player than being in the pack with other guys.
It was Charles Davis with the NFL Network with me earlier on everything around the players within the state, a little bit on Johnny Manziel as well. Tonight, the Aggies, if Manziel, and he's going to go in the first round, the Aggies tonight will have three players taken in the first round. Mike Evans, the wide receiver, Manziel, and the tackle, Jake Matthews. Texas A&M has had 11 players drafted in the top 10 since Luke Joeckel was number 2 overall pick by Jacksonville last year. So Evans can become the first A&M wide receiver to be drafted in the top 10. You have to go all the way back to 67. For Manziel, he'd be the first A&M quarterback since Ryan Tannehill in 2012. There's no sure thing here when you look at drafts. Eric Fisher last year, the number 1 overall pick, had a very good season. Was beat up, banged up. Andrew Luck the year before that, Cam Newton, Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford, I think, is sitting there probably holding his breath a little bit tonight on what the Rams are going to do. Before that, Matthew Stafford in 2009. Matthew Stafford's been okay. I wouldn't say Matthew Stafford's been anything over the top. Jake Long in 2008. Did they go the right direction with Jake Long? Jamarcus Russell, we all know that ended badly. Reggie Bush in 06, or Mario Williams, rather, in 06. Alex Smith in 05. So none of these are sure things and guys that bounce around. So while all the talk is about the number 1 overall pick tonight, who is going to trade up? To me, the Manziel story is the overriding story tonight nationally around this draft. What city is going to wake up tomorrow and be completely infatuated and think that they've got the guy? It's much like Tim Tebow. When the team that landed Tim Tebow, everything was great. Sports360AZ.com. White Mountain Radio on Twitter. Thanks to AZ Central as well for partnering with us. I'm Brad Sussmat. Jimmy Fallon on the other side.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. AZ Central Sports, appreciate the partnership there. In the next hour, Todd Graham will join us live. We'll talk with the coach for the Sun Devils about who he believes will be taking his players and their draft chances. Some other things with Todd Graham. I was out at the Biltmore yesterday with Eric. We sat with Larry Scott, the commissioner of the league, talked about some changes perhaps on the horizon for the Pac-12. I'll get into that with the coach. That'll be in hour number two. More draft stuff, though, and you have to have a little bit of fun with this, a little bit of levity with this, and none better than Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon last night was very, very funny. Had several of the draft players. Here's a clip from that from last night.
You guys, the NFL draft is tomorrow night, and it's happening right across the street at Radio City Music Hall. That's right. And this is exciting because it's New York City. This is where everything happens. And it's right across the street. We actually got some of the top college players in the draft with us here tonight. These guys are the future stars of the NFL. So let me introduce them to you right now. It's time for tonight's show, Meet the Players, NFL Draft Edition.
Meet the players, meet the players, meet the players, meet the players.
Let's meet our first player.
Receiver, Clemson.
Sammy's such a good receiver, he could even catch a pass from Tim Tebow.
Greg Robinson, offensive tackle, Auburn.
Greg doesn't let anyone get through, which has earned him the nickname the Obamacare website. Good to see you. Eric?
Eric Ebron, tight end, North Carolina. And make sure y'all follow me on Twitter, at Ebron85.
Eric is a better tight end than Kim Kardashian in Spanx. Thank you, buddy. Teddy?
Take your time, Teddy. Yeah,
quarterback. Louisville.
You're going to see it. Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater has already made history. He's the only NFL draft pick named after a Chris Christie scandal. Good to see you, buddy. Bridgewater. And buddy.
C.J. Mosley, linebacker, Alabama.
C.J. is the only dude so intimidating that he is allowed to talk about Fight Club. Good to see you, C.J. Thanks.
Jason Verrett, cornerback, TCU.
Jason's so quick, he once intercepted the coin toss.
Odell Beckham Jr., wide receiver, LSU.
Odell Beckham Jr. is engaged to a model. Meanwhile, this was my girlfriend in college. And that's good to see you, buddy.
Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, University of South Carolina.
Jadeveon, you're playing hot for yourself. Jadeveon played for the South Carolina Gamecocks. When I saw him backstage in his dressing room, I thought, that's one of the biggest Gamecocks I've ever seen. Guys, come back out here, everybody. My thanks to all the future stars of the NFL for being here. No, my God. Oh, man. We'll be talking more to Jadeveon later in the show. Good luck tomorrow on the draft, you guys.
That's good stuff. Now, and so Clowney, from my understanding, is hitting the streets. Gil Brandt just sent out a tweet. Clowney hitting New York City streets in a half hour with Wilson reps asking fans who should be the number one pick. Clowney answer gets football with his name on it. Can you imagine? That's going to be like carp at a dock when you throw like popcorn out in the water.
Exactly, yeah.
He's going to last, I don't know, all of like 30 seconds out there.
He's such an imposing dude. I mean, I'm sure people around New York City see him and they're like, oh, yeah, that's Jadeveon Clowney. He's 6'6" and
right. Hey, Jadeveon, and the number one pick should be Manziel. Hey,
I would never say that if Jadeveon Clowney was standing next to me. The number one pick, of course, you should be the number one pick.
Mac.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Jake Matthews.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. So smack him around. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I was just texting General Manager Tim Hovick because I'm sure tonight he's going to be out with the fans over at the Cardinals draft party out in Glendale. He is a big Cardinal supporter. That's great. He has several of the Cardinal players, including Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and Patrick Peterson as part of his roster. It's a lot of fun to be part of that roster as well. Myself, Tom Candiotti, and some others. The people at Santan Ford, they are the difference. Where they say it's all about you, they really do mean it is all about you right now. as you're thinking about your summer traveling plans, your summer vacation plans. Do you have that car? Do you have that truck? Drive the car I'm driving from Santan Ford, the Ford Fusion. It makes a lot of sense for me. My busy lifestyle, as soon as I'm done with the show here, it's off to meetings, lunch, a couple more meetings. And then I've got to decide whether I want to go to Glendale or go to the Cardinals facility for the draft tonight. I'll be one of those two places or maybe both. But I do so in a car that makes a lot of sense for me. I fit in it at 6 feet eight, gets good gas mileage, and it's a fun car to drive with the on-demand center, the sync system, sync support. I can get things done while I'm driving around the valley or wherever my journeys take me. Now, how about you? Are you in that car? Are you in that truck that makes the most sense? Stop on into Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So the draft tonight, I'm sure the ratings tonight will be, if you combine them together, will be staggering. Roger Goodell saying earlier that he kind of likes having the draft in May. None of us like it sitting here when it's the same stuff over and over and over and over.
I went to the Combine, Brad. Literally, it feels like 5 years ago when it was actually just a few months ago.
Yeah.
But pushing the draft back a month makes all the difference. So,
well, it's May. It's sweeps. They want to make this a prime time event.
I
it's
see.
A very important time.
Good
for,
point.
It's a very, very important time for those that have their television rights fees, and that's what drives this league. They're going to have walk-up music tonight for the players. It's fine. It's fine. Copy something that baseball's done. It's fine. You've got to make sure that you keep things up to speed, and what others are doing probably makes good sense for you. I'll watch tonight, and I don't know if I'll be over on NFL Network or ESPN. My preference would be NFL Network by a long, 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 long ways.
Agree.
Tonight.
I'm the same way.
I don't need all of the false bravado and all that nonsense. So that's going on tonight. There are a couple other things I want to get to. In the next hour, Todd Graham's going to be with us. We'll also hear from Peter King and Jake Plummer on the draft and Carl Bradford, too. But a few other things that I saw yesterday and last night in sports. So it's a good thing that the draft is today, because for the next 4 or 5, even a week, the NFL will dominate because it's easy, low-hanging fruit. They'll dominate the conversation. Me, I kind of pay attention to everything that's going on. The Diamondbacks have suddenly won 5 of their last 7 games. Won 5 of their last 7, and all of a sudden Bronson Arroyo has been lights out. 2-0 with an earned run average of just under 1, 0.87. I get it's the Brewers, but the Brewers are a free-swinging group. That's a very good outing for Bronson Arroyo. Addison Reed has 10 saves and 11 chances. You'd kind of like to see the deal that Kevin Towers has put out work, and it has to this point. Yeah, I can sit here and bang away on the Diamondbacks with a shovel between their eyes, and I've done that because they've deserved it. They deserved it. They've won 5 of their last 7. They're off today. They play at Chicago against the White Sox. That'll be tomorrow. So that's going on. On the NBA playoff front, I think the most interesting story is that Shelley Sterling is digging in her heels. If you've not heard about this, Donald Sterling's wife says she has no plans to sell the team, believes her husband's lifetime ban and $2.5 million fine do not apply to me or my family. I have been co-owner since 1981, she says in a statement. During those 33 years, I've been a diehard fan, even when the team was in the basement. Now that all of our hard work is paying off, I want to celebrate the success we're finally achieving. So as we have said, this is going to end up in a court of law. Can you imagine if Shelley Sterling is still running the team and it's July 1st when free agency starts, or if they win an NBA title? But for those that thought, oh, Donald's out and we're going to get a fresh set of owners in here, she's digging in. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric, partnering with the Arizona Republic on AZ Central Sports. Appreciate their support. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmatt. Off we go into hour number 2. Brad Sussmatt on Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric on this NFL draft day. If you're just joining us, some of the big stories going on in the world of sports on this draft day, brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Fly on out of Mesa Gateway Airport to nearly 40 different locations. I was talking with a friend yesterday who loves flying out of Gateway to Eugene because they have direct flights there. Also another friend that likes flying on Gateway Airport because they're able to get them to a lot of college cities, smaller towns. Gateway Airport on Allegiant, it is just plain easy. Appreciate their support. The draft, so earlier on the show today, we had Eric Metz, who represents the number two, probably the number two overall player taken, Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Auburn. And Eric joined us from New York. He's there with his client for the draft. And his line to us was, we are hearing that the Texans are actively trying to trade out of the number one overall pick. Very interesting comments there. A lot of conversation. The Texans are asking for three first-round picks and a number two with the draft tonight. Are they trying to trade back because they feel like they can get Johnny Manziel and get some extra picks? That's the lightning rod that's out there. The Cardinals at number 20. I would love to see them take Calvin Pryor, the safety from Louisville. I don't think he's going to last till 20 picks, but that's the guy I'd really like to see them go after. If it's a quarterback at 20, I'm not going to be doing cartwheels and backflips. I think you can address the quarterback by trade going and getting Mike Glennon. Unless you feel like Blake Bortles is better than any of the guys next year that are coming out, you have to look at that. You have to say to yourself, if you're Steve Keim, can I get a quarterback next year? And Bruce Arians too. Or do I have to take one of these guys, and are these guys going to be anything special? And we can always refer back to the Gabbert and Ponder and Locker draft fiasco when they took these quarterbacks that weren't ready to play. Eric, where are you at on tonight watching the draft with the spoiler alert?
Well, if you stay off Twitter, I mean, you won't have to worry about the spoiler alert, but who doesn't stay off Twitter on draft night? So
spoiler alert meaning if you're sitting there on Twitter and before the commissioner comes up to the podium and announces – there's going to be Jason LaConfer as the guy.
Sure.
Jason LaConfer is the guy tonight.
Jay Glazer is another one who's probably going to get some inside knowledge on who the pick is maybe 3-4 minutes before the pick happens. So
Jason LaConfer says he'll be tweeting out picks again during the draft. ESPN and NFL Network will not.
I'm okay, especially if Jason, who we've had on the show before, basically gives you a warning like, hey, if you don't want to know the picks before they happen, unfollow me for the night or just stay off Twitter. It's his job to break news. So
yes.
That's not our problem. That's not his problem. That's our problem.
I don't understand in this day and age of wanting things instantaneously how you would not want to follow someone tonight. How big of a detriment is going to be? Well, it's really spoiled my night that 15 seconds before the commissioner gets up there, the Jason LaConfer says, haha, Dix is going to be the guy taken here.
And we're in a society where everyone wants to know something immediately. So really, Goodell going up to the podium and telling you who the pick is has become, I think, pretty much an afterthought.
So both networks tonight have pledged not to show images of players on the phone in the green room at Radio City. And not to report pick-by-pick selections on the Twitter feeds of staffers prior to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell announcing the picks on the podium. The Twitter agreement carries through at least the first two rounds. I think it's kind of nuts, myself. You're telling guys you can't do your job, and you're going to take away from it. In terms of not showing the players, I don't know. I think it's kind of fun to see guys about ready to pass out.
I agree. It's a production, and in a way, the NFL draft is a huge drama show. It really is. I mean, you talk about reality TV. There's nothing more real than the NFL draft. No one knows how this is going to play out tonight. Who knows? The Texans could step up and take Johnny Manziel with the first pick. We don't know that.
The first drafts that I covered were back in 1985.
Much different back then.
Yeah, and I was much different back then.
They had the helmet phones. Remember those? Where they had like the it wasn't even cordless.
It was fun. It was of course it was in San Diego with the Chargers, and they would allow the fans to come in. And we would do the show. We started doing draft shows. I remember when I first came to Phoenix and I told the management over at KTAR, we need to do a draft show. What's a draft show? We've never heard of such a thing. And we put a draft show together, and it was the same day as my daughter was born. And so I had to tell my
good
wife.
Timing.
Well, I had to tell my wife, is like, okay, you got to hurry this thing along. And she did. It was kind of funny in an afterthought. My daughter now, who's 20. We had to hurry her along, and I got done at 7:45 cutting the cord, and I was there by 8:30 doing a draft show.
Back in those days, they were more concerned about who the Suns got for in the Nigel Knight trade.
Oh, there's no question.
So.
There's no question. And the thing is, back then, the fans, there were guys that were ahead of their time. They were draft Knicks, they were called. And these were guys that were retired. It was kind of like the guys that go to the racetrack and have the betting guides.
Mm-hmm.
These draft Knick guys were really interesting to talk to because it's before this age that we're in now. People that are under 40 will have all this access to information. Back then, it was you had to get the Mel Kiper draft book. And that's how long, far back Mel goes.
Draft book?
He had a book. He had a book that he published. And you had to get that. You had to get the late Joel Buschbaum draft book. Joel was with Pro Football Weekly. And you didn't have nearly the amount of coverage, obviously, because information ages change everything. You didn't have the opportunity to go on Twitter. You just had to sit there and take phone calls, and it would be Mark on a mobile, and that was really random. Mobile phones are just starting to come into play. I want to see the Rams take so-and-so, and you would get so-and-so on the phone, right? And when it was draft time, there'd be a couple hundred fans, and they're all draft Knicks with their little cards, and they had already sketched out who they thought was going to be drafted. Now you see it. And just the explosion of information, also the game playing, you know, the fantasy football stuff was not going then. There are more people tonight, in my opinion, that will care about the fantasy football component to this than they do a certain team. My view of how NFL has changed is there aren't as many fans of teams as there are fans of games. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. And I know our guy Michael Fabiano will be watching the draft very closely. And my guess, knowing him, tomorrow morning he will already have something on NFL.com with the top draft picks, rookies, where they're headed, what the impact's going to be, things like that.
Sure, sure. And it's fun. It's more fun than I think back in the day it was my team, the Packers, chose X.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be really good. That helped the Packers. Now it's Mike Evans goes to pick a team that has a good quarterback and already has a good frontline wide receiver. Wow, I better take him because he's going to see a lot of balls thrown his way and I'm going to win cash. That's where this is. Am I being cynical here?
No.
I think this is really where it's gone.
People watch the NFL completely different than they did 20 years ago.
This is about a fantasy football thing. I don't feel like you can have hundreds of thousands of fans show up wherever they're going to do this around the country tonight. And a lot of those guys are going to say, well, that's going to be a really good fantasy guy for me to go get. That's just the way it is nowadays. Some other things on the draft for tonight. I think the stories, and we talked with Rick Gosling in the last hour about these reports that that Johnny Manziel, that the Cowboys are interested in moving up to take Johnny Manziel. He said, completely, totally not true at all. Don't believe anything that's out there. There's a $30 million cap hit. There's not a chance. But when I asked him, it's Jerry Jones here we're talking about. He's nuts. He's nuts. And the amount of reaction, whatever city lands Johnny Football tomorrow, that's going to be story number one. Maybe their walk-up music and how bad it is, or what type of gear somebody wore, or somebody had to get their Twitter handle out there in front of Commissioner Goodell and do their marketing and all that nonsense. That'll go on tonight. In terms of the Cardinals, we can either be over at the Cardinals facility for the draft or we could be out in Glendale. I haven't decided yet where I'm going to go. I may go do both, go do the double. Start out in Glendale and then make it over to the Cardinals for the 20th pick. See what the fans are doing. Here's Bruce Arians on what attributes are the Cardinals looking for with the 20th pick tonight.
The best football player available because we really don't have a glaring need. And a guy that would play for free, a guy that loves to play the game. And you're going to pay him anyway, but he'd play for free. I mean, he brings that kind of passion and excitement to your building.
And see, I want that too. I don't need to have a guy who's worried about all the off-the-field endorsement stuff. And I'm in my locker, which really is an island, and I'm a corporation, and I just want guys that can play. Give me a guy that can tackle. Give me a safety tonight. You know, that's the direction I'm looking at. If Calvin Pryor fell to the Cardinals with the 20th pick or they traded up to get him, I'd be ecstatic because I think they do have a glaring need there. On the other side, we'll hear from Peter King and Jake Plummer on the draft. I'm Brad Sussmat. Busy draft day, Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports as well, good to partner up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Earlier on the show, if you missed it, Eric Metz, Scottsdale-based agent, representing one of the top players in the draft this year, Greg Robinson, who could go one, two, or three. Eric joined me in hour number one on the draft. And the vibe that he's getting about the number one overall pick being held right now by the Houston Texans, a lot of rumors, the Texans trying to trade out of number one. This was a short time ago on the show.
I strongly feel they're shopping the pick like crazy. And, you know, the word around this building here, we're all in the same Essex Marriott Hotel here in Central Park, is that the Buffalo Bills are thinking, hey, we may not be here next year if Donald Trump or John Bon Jovi buys this team. So let's just trade away next year's number one pick and give them a second-round pick this year and move up to number one to get the guy that they want.
So if Buffalo does that, if Buffalo trades up, the reports out of Houston today are the Texans are asking for three first-round picks and a number two. Really steep price tag. But if you're the Bills and you're going to go for it, who would you trade up that far to go get? Is it Jadeveon Clowney? Would it be a quarterback, Johnny Manziel, that high up? Doesn't make sense. But if you're a desperate team, and that came from an agent who's right in the middle of all the negotiating and all the business side, because his client could be number one. That was an hour number one just a short time ago. The segment of the show brought to you by the good people at Western Grade and Western Materials. Western Grade, Western Materials. It doesn't matter where you are around the state of Arizona. If you need help with that heavy earthwork for your master plan community, you're one of the big home builders, or you're looking to build that home around the state. Troy Gillespie, he does a great job, and his company does a great job. Very good people. I've visited with Troy a number of times by phone about what he wants the message from me to you. And it's really that, look, we don't want to just be any old business showing up to do the heavy earthwork when you're putting in that custom home. It's too important. And that's why they are on those big jobs. Western Grade, Western Materials. Check them out yourself, whether you're a builder or you're going to build. Online at westerncos.com. That's westerncos.com. Western Grade, Western Materials. I like the down-home approach in talking with Troy. That's Western Grade, Western Materials, westerncos.com. Peter King was with us recently. We spoke with Peter on a number of subjects around the draft, but on this draft day, I wanted to give you a little bit of context from one of the leading voices in the NFL on what he sees happening here in Arizona. What do you see out of the Cardinals in this offseason from a year now of Keim and Arians and your expectations around the Cardinals?
My expectations are that, I think their defense, which really was a pleasant surprise, not a surprise is the wrong word, but which really was a pleasant deal for, how well they played last year, even at some spots. Like, I don't know that people thought they were going to rush the passer as well they did to get the pressure on the quarterback as much as they did. But you know that who would have ever thought 2 years ago that we'd be saying, well, here are the Cardinals smack dab in the toughest division in football. But it is. You look at all four teams in that division. You look at how the St. Louis Rams last year took the, were terribly difficult for the Seattle Seahawks to beat. And then 2 years ago, they beat and tied the 49ers. So to me, when I look at where this division is, I just say, if you are not improving, they cannot stay the same this offseason and hope to be a playoff team next year. They have got to get better. And in my opinion, getting better, I think, starts with getting more consistent play out of Carson Palmer. And I think that's a huge emphasis for Bruce Arians this offseason.
The quarterbacks have been measured today. What do you make out of the news coming out about Manziel's height, the size of hands and Bortles and Bridgewater, all the news today about the quarterbacks?
Well, Johnny Manziel thought he'd be exactly 6 feet tall. That's what his agent thought he would measure at. So he measured at 5'11 and three quarters. Stop the presses, really. I mean, it just doesn't matter. And that's why to me at the scouting combine, honestly, it's just so much of this stuff is invented. Johnny, all I know about Johnny Manziel is this. I am not a huge college football watcher, okay? But all I know about Johnny Manziel is this. Last year, Nick Saban had all offseason to prepare for Johnny Manziel and for Texas A&M. And what happened when they played? Nick Saban's defense allowed the most yards of any Nick Saban defense in his coaching career. And so, you know, am I going to get too bent out of shape over a quarter of an inch or three quarters of an inch or an inch and a half? I'm not. He obviously has figured out how to throw over tall people, the same as Drew Brees has learned how to throw over tall people, and I just don't think it's a big deal.
In a couple of moments, we'll have head coach Todd Graham of Arizona State as we continue on with our draft coverage. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. It is NFL Draft Day. I know that General Manager Tim Hovick is going to be out at the draft because he has several very, very talented Cardinal players on his roster, whether it's Patrick Peterson or Larry Fitzgerald or Carson Palmer, Jay Feely. They're all part of the roster at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Guys, are you in the market for a truck? Get that F-150. You know, the summer season of trucks, it's right around the corner. I've taken the F-150 up to Pine Top on my fishing trips, and it's a great vehicle, great truck. Maybe you're heading up to the mountains this summer, up to Colorado, or out to the coast to be out there at the beach, all your summer equipment. That's at the on the F-150 at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That's Santan Ford. The draft conversation about the, let's go back on this one. The number one pick where Houston is asking for three first round picks and a number two. That's right along the same lines of what the St. Louis Rams were able to do with RG3, if you think back to it. And look at how it's played out for St. Louis. It's very smart, and people get caught up in the draft of in the here and now. But if you're able to stockpile picks, and I get the sense from Steve Keim and just how he's approached the draft, he's not one of these guys that's going to be frivolous with his picks. Last year, they took a bit of a gamble swoop, but maybe this year is one where you trade back and you go after the veteran quarterback in Mike Glennon. There's some options, I think, for the Cardinals at 20 tonight where it's the quarterbacks, and that's what you want to see is that opportunity to make a decision. Look, at 20, we can go defense, or we can go take a quarterback by way of draft and move some of those picks out. We'll step aside here, and on the other side, Todd Graham will be with us. That's after this timeout. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. It is NFL Draft Day. A lot of excitement in the air. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric. Doesn't matter if it's college, high school, pro. We go all sorts of different directions, a little different than the others that are out there, which is fine. There's space for everybody, but we pay a lot of attention to what's going on the college and high school football fronts, on the basketball scene as well. You can check out our content online at Sports360AZ.com. Good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic as we provide content for them, and they take our show. We appreciate that. On White Mountain Radio, of course, great to be on White Mountain Radio and the good people on White Mountain Radio. And on Twitter, you can jump on board with us at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. The segment of the show brought to you by Bison Realty and Bison Homes. 14 years in the White Mountains. It's that time of year where in the valley you're looking for that second home. You're looking for that summer home. And those of you in the White Mountains, you may be looking to sell that home. Let's make a match happen. Licensed by the state of Arizona, a true realtor. Give them a call at 928-242-6890. 928-242-6890. If you're looking for that summer home in Heber, Overgard, Sholo, Pine Top, Springerville, Holbrook, 14 years in the business, Bison Realty, 928-242-6890. Todd Graham's going to join us here in a couple of moments. He's on the phone with a star recruit from what I'm hearing. So he'll jump on board here in a minute. I do want to bring up one of the interesting angles around the draft. You may or may not have heard about this. This has been under the under the radar. You think watching tape would be enough, right? If you're an NFL guy, watching tape of a player would be enough. Or going to the combine and seeing them run in their spandex would be enough. Going to their pro day would be enough. But no, the Cleveland Browns, under their former regime, were long in plans to focus on a 2014 quarterback class, unimpressed with the 2013 group. So the Cleveland Browns put together a quarterback study, and they talked about this yesterday, the quarterback study at a cost of over $100,000 to do the metrics of a player. They wanted to take the analytics of the player. So the Browns are admitting now they spent $100,000. Forget about going to the combine. Forget about going to the workouts. Forget about going to the games. $100,000 to figure out that Teddy Bridgewater, according to the analytics they've received, is the highest rated quarterback. That's how different the draft is. Here's Todd Graham now, head football coach at Arizona State. We saw Todd out at the Biltmore last couple of days around Pac-12 meetings. Do you need like analytics studies for quarterbacks when you recruit them, or can you just see on tape what you're getting there, Coach?
Well, no, I think, you know, we spend – that's probably the most detailed evaluation of any other position. We try to be very detailed in evaluating all of our players because we're not just looking at film. Obviously we got to have guys that fit what we're all about. And, you know, we spend an awful lot of time looking at their works and then you're dealing with personalities, you know, like we break down each position and, hey, what's the, you know, from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from an, you know, how smart we think that group is overall as far as academics and football, savvy. I would never be quick to offer a quarterback because, you know, I think it's the most important position on the field, and you got, if you want to win a championship, you better have a championship quarterback, and so much of that is not like a combine. You know, I could watch a guy in a combine, and I no way could I make a decision if I wanted him or not without knowing the intangibles. And we talk about the intangibles being our value system, character, smart, disciplined, tough, courageous, how they handle adversity, those type of things.
So analytics, Todd, I'm just curious, because when it starts at the pros, it usually trickles down to college and then trickles down to high school. That's just what I've seen through the years. Is analytics have a place for a college football head coach?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think that you can, as far as the evaluation process, I would agree with that. I think that that's, we try to, I just don't think it's just you can ever just put one thing on it. One of the things I'm big on is meeting them face to face and that interview and how they communicate, how they, handle the, our environment, how we do everything that we do. So that's kind of, I think all those, I think you can't be thorough enough in evaluating and looking at the quarterbacks and how you take everything that they do in regard, because you can't have we're responsible for 100% of what they do. And obviously they've got to lead, and they're the single most important player on the field because of that.
Todd Graham with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ on the Arizona Republic site, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. The best NFL prospect that you coached against, we're going to get to your players in a minute, but that you coached against the last few years that you believe will get taken here either tonight or tomorrow, Todd?
I think Marquise Lee would be one guy that would be he would probably be a guy that would stick out. Maybe Thomas from Oregon, a guy that stayed is Mariota. He's probably one of the most, I think a guy that will be a great NFL quarterback. But, defensively, Barr, I think, is going to be a great player from UCLA in the NFL.
Murphy at Stanford.
Oh gosh. Yes. Yeah. Murphy. I think he's as good a football player as we faced, again, it's what system too, that he fits in. Scove, the linebacker from Stanford will be, somebody will get a great get there because they probably didn't test that great and all those things that come in, but they're just football players. So, You know, a lot of great defensive the defensive lineman from Oregon State. His name slips my mind. Hey, I think he is a great, great player.
Yeah, Cooks. Crichton,
that's it. Crichton that's yeah. coming out. He's really good. So there's some the Cooks kid from the receiver from Oregon State. There's great players. I mean, that are a bunch of great players graduating as well as we think we've got a bunch of them. I think the guys that we've got six or seven guys that I think will be successful in the NFL, and where they get drafted and all that stuff is who knows. But I can tell you they're prepared to move to that level and to be successful because they have those intangibles and the things that it takes to be successful.
Can you pull the curtain back for the fans a little bit on your role around draft time? When organizations, do they contact you? You see them in person? Give the fans an idea of how a head coach at a college program with players like Bradford and Grice and Sutton and Darby and others, how you facilitate that and what role you play.
Well, I've got friendships with guys like Coach Belichick and we've got Coach Allen with the Raiders that I've got a good relationship with, and obviously what we do, that's part something I think is very, very important. Is them having access to be able to visit. Well, I spent most of the morning talking to different teams, and they get a little antsy, this last day, so they like to talk and reaffirm the things that we've talked about and giving them the information that it takes. And through the interview process, I think when they start interviewing our players, there's been a lot of positive feedback from the league and just how, our guys are smart and disciplined and the character that they show. I think the interview process has been one that's really, really helped our guys out tremendously. And so, I start off, obviously, and communicate with the scouts as they come by. I don't have somebody else do it. I have, they're able to talk to me and visit with me. And then I, on pro day, obviously I talk to every scout. And as they come through, we set them up and give them the opportunity to visit with us. And then we'll have each position coach, visit with the teams that are interested. And then as we finish the season, when they get done with the combine, they'll start calling and requesting information. And I spend a lot of time on the phone, obviously, talking to them. And then when they come by to work them out, they'll always come by and want to visit. But again, it's not one of those things that, I think they want information more than anything else, but your works is what's going to matter. I mean, when you come from a program, I think that the program matters from which you come from, that you're prepared. And things that are going to sustain success, no matter it be in the NFL or business or whatever it is going to be character, smart, disciplined, tough, courageous, those things. So, I spend a lot of time on the phone with them. And then obviously, Coach Belichick comes by here. We'll have different head coaches come in and stop by and visit with us. And obviously we mostly try to provide as much access for them to make it easy for them to be – and being honest and straightforward with them, because that's important that when they come in here, they know that we're gonna tell them honestly exactly, give them the information that they want.
Are you, on draft night in the next few days, do you – when a player is taken, do you look at the team and say, that's going to be a great fit, or, wow, I don't know? Or are you just happy they're drafted, Todd?
Well, when a guy gets drafted high, it depends on where they get drafted high. A lot of times you're better off if you're going to be drafted fifth, sixth, seventh round, you're better off not to be drafted
right.
So you can have some choice in the matter. And I'll spend the next few days on the phone with my guys, Keelan Johnson was a kid that we were on the phone with and helping him decide, hey, let's look and see how many veterans are there. Let's look and see what the fit is, the system, how well you fit that system. Because I try to also, I have my own opinion on things of where I think they fit. But on the same hand, it's their choice. So we try to help them in that process to be able to, to make that decision, especially when it comes to – I probably have a lot more involvement with the free agents, which I think is really critical in picking the right spot where you have the best opportunity to be successful. But, there's times when a guy gets drafted – you know, he'd get drafted the first three rounds, first four rounds, you know, you're happy for him. I want our guys to get drafted as high as they possibly can. And, you know, you want the very best for them. Our goal is not for our guys to make it to the NFL. Our goal is for our guys to play in the NFL for 5 years, for 10 years, you know, and to be able to really have something to show for it. I think it's three years and three games, I think, get you, you know, a pension. So we want them to make it, not just make it to the NFL. We want them to make it and be successful. And so we try to. I think the things that we've done up until this time is what's prepared them. And our guys are very well prepared, and I think they'll do very well.
Before I let you go, and we're talking with Todd Graham, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ, AZ Central Sports. A lot of discussion about Carl and Marion and Will. Do you believe those are the three that are going to get drafted as you sit here with me today? And are there others you believe that will be drafted?
Yeah, I would be surprised if, you know, again, I think that, you know, what everybody analyzes and talks about, I can tell you that Will Sutton is going to be a tremendous defensive tackle in the NFL, and I think his value. You know, obviously, they where they got him second or third round. I think he's better than that. So we're hoping that no doubt in my mind, I think he'll be a second. You know, I hope he's a second round pick. I think Carl's right around the same. His grade was a third round grade, and some usually you don't usually go higher than that, but I think that his versatility and obviously I wanted him to come back because I wanted to develop him more, and obviously
sure.
I think he's only scratched the surface for where he's going to be. Will's a much more mature player as far as where he's developed to. Obviously coming back helped him. Carl is a guy that his upside is off the chart. So I do think both those guys will be drafted. We're hoping second round, for both of them. But I'd be surprised if either one of those guys wasn't drafted in the first three. And I'd say, Carl being the latest to fourth. And then I think Marion had a second round grade up until the time he got hurt. Mm-hmm. So he might be a surprise. Like somebody, I'm hoping that he gets picked, in the first, four rounds, and we'll see what happens. But I'd be surprised if any of those three guys aren't picked. And then there's a lot of guys. There's a lot of guys after that might could be late round picks. Obviously, I think our two defensive backs, Darby and Erebor, and then Nelson, are guys that Nelson's one of the fastest players, I think, coming out. It's how he plays the game, and Erebor is obviously, one of the best corners coming out. Those guys were all Pac-12 players. So any of those three guys could be picked in later rounds, but, I hope they get to the right team because I think all three of those guys, and especially Erebor and Darby, I think, are very well prepared for that level. Gannon Conway's a sleeper that wasn't probably on anybody's draft board that I think is going to be a great defensive lineman in the league. They'll probably be a free agent. Finkenberg's a guy, my gosh, 4-year starter. He could get drafted late. Chris Coyle could get drafted late. Mm-hmm. I think you look at all these guys we've got, that's not to mention Davon Coleman. Davon's a very versatile player. So we got a whole bunch of guys in this thing that could be Chris Young is the best linebacker that I've ever coached, so he's a guy that could be a late pick. So probably the guys that are more likely to get picked late would be Chris Young, maybe a Darby, a Chris Coyle, but who knows? I do project most of those guys will be later round picks, but we're hoping they all get where they're supposed to be, and I know they're going to do a great job.
Yeah, that's almost double digits there, Coach. So that would
Well, I'm going to tell you, we had a lot of good football players, and every one of those kids that we have, their character, they're smart, they're disciplined. I mean, they've been through a system where they've really – we have extremely high standards in how we work and the work ethic and the accountabilities, and our program's not about minimum standards but high standards, and so I think they're prepared well, and I'm hoping they all end up with the team they're supposed to end up with, but I've got a lot of confidence that we've got a lot of those guys that are going to make it in the NFL.
Stay well. I'll probably see you. It was good seeing you out at the Biltmore. I'll probably see you at the White Mountain Steak Fry next month, and I appreciate your time as always.
You bet. All right. Thanks, Kent. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. There's Todd Graham. A couple of minutes. Good to jump on board with the coach. The 7th Annual White Mountain Steak Fry and Golf Tournament, June 20th and 21st at the Pine Top Country Club. You can get more information by going to alumni.asu.edu. Todd's going to be up there as part of that. Back with more after this time out on this draft day. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
You know, part of the fun on draft day and how it's changed through the years is Twitter. Twitter is just amazing. I've learned during the break that one of the players in the draft, Ebron, the tight end, just proposed to his girlfriend atop the Empire State Building. So, hey, let's get married because I'm going to make a lot of Jack tonight. So let's just all wipe it out in one day. Why not? Who knew? What a great story that is. I've also seen from people that whose opinions I really respect and admire. Albert Breer is one of those who's been on the show quite a bit. Albert Breer is continuing to report that Atlanta is trying to trade up. Buffalo's trying to trade up. The intrigue on Johnny Manziel is very real. It's hard to tell where they're going to see him land at this point, though, according to Albert Breer. That's on Twitter. Eric Ebron, Schefter just tweeted this, just proposed to his girlfriend atop the Empire State Building. So now that story's out. And I'm sure going to see a lot of that as the day progresses. Hey, you've just been taken by Jacksonville, meaning you're going to get your head kicked in. Which was the better story for you today, proposing to your girlfriend or going to a team where you're going to get beat on unmercifully?
Oh, probably proposing to his girlfriend.
Yeah, proposing to the girlfriend.
He'll say, my dream came true getting drafted in the NFL.
Right.
But, you know, my wife is for a lifetime. The NFL is.
Oh,
isn't.
That's so sweet. Schefter has also now tweeted out a couple of minutes ago, Houston is now locked in on its player and is not expecting a trade, per sources. Texans are happy to sit at number one and take the player that they want. Albert Breer, one thing you consistently hear on Detroit and Buffalo, both of whom have discussed dealing up, is a focus on getting help for their quarterbacks. Not getting a quarterback, but help for their quarterbacks.
So how much longer, Brad, do you think until someone leaks on Twitter who the Texans are, quote, locked in on with the number one pick? Because you know it's going to get out at some point. What are we? We're just a number of hours for the draft.
Here's how that game is played in this day and age. So the reason why Adam Schefter gets so many stories right is because agents have to make sure that they get taken care of. And the agent wants to make sure that next year he gets out there. So they're going to go to the biggest media outlet. And there's not going to be many stories broken ever by locals, by local guys. I'm not complaining. It's just a fact. The agent will call him and he'll say, this is what we're doing. There'll be some personnel guys inside of NFL teams that are moving up the ranks that want to make sure it's the assistant GM. It's the director of scouting who wants to make sure that they're taken care of when they become general managers. So they start working these guys over too. I mean, game's played a lot of different ways. I mean, that's, here in town through the years, I've had people that have called and just bugged me to death to please say my name on the air. And it's like, that's not happening. You know, do your work and you'll be fine. It's interesting how it plays out. But Twitter today has just been fascinating to see all the different angles around the draft. Carl Bradford's going to get drafted. He was in studio with me earlier, about a month ago. And very heartfelt, very, very good guy who left ASU early. Got a little choked up when we had him in studio. This is Carl Bradford earlier. Carl Bradford left ASU early for the NFL. We're talking about an all Pac-12 performer. We're talking about a guy that came up with, I think, one of the greatest plays, individual plays that I've seen on a football field. But we're also talking about a guy that you can follow on Twitter, at CarlBradford52. Except you have I am my father that is after Carl Bradford 52. And I've seen that through the years.
Yes, sir.
So I need to know the story of that. I am my father. If somebody follows you on Twitter, what's the story?
The story is, I don't know if you're familiar with my father passing away.
I am.
So that just represents I am him. I'm in everything I do is through him. It's the way he would do it. I represent him that way. It keeps it close to my heart, and knowing that he's always right there on my shoulder through thick and thin. So I am my father.
And that just hit you automatically when you put your Twitter file?
No, it been hit me. I just like to have it out there. I mean, I'm fortunate to have my father and mother, so I like to represent him as much as I can, and so I'm honored to be his son.
And I know that when you lost your father, you've been very emotional about this.
Yeah. A lot of ups and down roller coasters, and learning how to channel it now, be more at peace with it. Coming to the Lord, my Father, ultimate Father, finding peace in that. So I'm finding happiness in my heart now with it.
Okay, tough question. I'll look you right in the eye. What would your father say about all this right now?
He's extremely proud. The whole NFL thing and everything. Extremely proud. I mean, ever since 10 years old, he enrolled me in it. It's been a great journey from playing football. And I just know he's looking down. He's extremely proud of me and always will be.
Carl Bradford in studio. When did you first know I can play this game and maybe get a check to play this game?
Oh, man. As in when I first know I
that
could
you
play
had it? That aha moment. That moment of...
I would probably say his last season, where like, okay, I could take this and make a career out of it.
Really?
I mean, in high school, you always dreamed of it, but how often do people dreams come true? And so I just stayed with my dream and chased it. And these last two seasons, it started opening up, and I started to see it. And this last season, I started to realize, oh, I'm getting a buzz about my name. So it kind of shocked me at once.
Carl Bradford in studio. I'm a little surprised by that because you had a Pac-12 school that came after you.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a high school moment of, I think I could play. That's pretty humble is what I'm getting at.
Right. No, at the high school level, I'd be like, oh, man, I could play college. That's how it was. And after college, I'd be like, oh, I could play NFL.
So you didn't have that NFL thing because some high school guys are like, oh, I'm going to go do this after college. You weren't in this day and age of one and dones, two and dones, and all that stuff.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't. No, I was focused on my dream and making it come true.
Did you come to ASU? Did you know that you would be placed in that position defensively when you first came to ASU?
Well, Coach Erickson was one of the, if not the only one, recruit me as linebacker. From playing fullback in high school, I had just my mentality switch. I want to play defense. Never done it. So I thank him for believing in me. So ever since I transformed over to I played middle backer coming to college, and quite honestly, I sucked at middle.
In what way?
I wasn't good. I didn't know how to read the linebackers. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do any of that. But
were you lazy?
No, I
just didn't know it.
Just didn't understand it.
Push the button to get you going?
Yeah, I never had to read the lineman. Never had a drop in coverage. None of that. So it was all new to me, and I was working out there for a while, and my redshirt freshman year, I believe, I got moved to DN. I played played DN in 2011 with playing Boise State, and then Coach Graham came in these last 2 years, and he transformed me into his devil backer position. It was a perfect fit, Coach Graham, and that brought this defense to us, and it was nice. I loved it. It's a fun position to play. You get a tag, you get a blitz, you get a drop, you get everything, and I enjoyed it. I just took it and ran with it.
You get to show off too,
a little bit.
Your athleticism. I mean,
exactly. It's definitely a position that you got to be athlete as, and be a strong player and a smart player. I mean, because the smartness comes in where you're blitzing from everywhere. You got to know what to do on both sides, and he'll line you up in the middle, so you have to blitz from different angles and whatnot. So you definitely have to be a smart player at first, and then you get to show off your athleticism.
Carl Bradford in studio, getting ready for the NFL draft. Sun Devil turning pro, you left early. Was that a difficult decision?
At first it was. I got a little feedback from both sides, kind of even, and then the ultimate factor was me graduating with a criminal justice degree. Coming into college, I promised my mom before I do anything with my football career, I would have that degree, and she's super proud of me that I did that, and she supported me in whatever decision I choose to go, and I feel like this was the right decision to make, and I'm just running with it now.
All right, so have you heard from the Cardinals at all?
Actually, yeah. They the inside backer coach and the linebacker and the outside backer coach came and worked me out pro day, but I haven't spoke to them since. But they were pleased with me. They put me through a couple drills as well.
I'm not going to be one of these guys that says, so what city do you want to go to? Because I think that stuff's nonsense.
Yeah.
He'll go to any city, and he'll say, whatever team wants to sign me,
amen,
I will go. However, this story about the Cowboys want to make you a fullback. Okay,
yeah.
What is this all about?
I'm not sure. I met with them during the combine, and when I had an interview with them and met with their coach and staff and whatnot, and they asked me, oh, so what do you think you can still play fullback? it kind of shocked me. From I'm like, I haven't played fullback since high school, but I was like, yeah, I could do it. Yeah, I mean, sure. I could put my hand in there and go on goal line and block for whoever. And so yeah, that kind of how it came about. And they had a follow up little interview with me and still asked me. And I think at Pro Day, I believe it was. And I was like, yeah. So that's the last time I heard from that so far. But
so yeah. What do you do off that? Do you go train a little bit at that? Have you done anything at all since then on that? Just on the side, like, dang, they want me to play fullback. Maybe I should. Do you do anything along those lines? You're like, nah.
No, I mean, I should, but I haven't. Yeah, I mean.
Well, come on.
We don't have a fullback in ASU system, but I didn't even play at ASU fullback.
So I know you did.
I don't know. So
what are these guys thinking? Are they nuts? I mean, come on.
I mean, they probably see what I could do and see if I could still transform that into playing fullback, which I believe I can.
Okay, who's going to get drafted first out of the ASU class this year?
Between Will and I. I don't know. I can't say which one, but both great players.
That was good. That's politically correct. That's not bad.
I don't know.
Who's the player that you are going to see on draft day, name announced, that you played against, that you will say, man, that guy is going to kill it. That guy was so good and so tough.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, but it could be a quarterback. It could be any position.
I would say
any offensive position, you're like, that guy is going to kill it.
I would say I don't want to say it, but
Come on, say it. It's the U of A running guy. Back. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. The running back there. He's a great player.
That guy, Carey.
Carey, yeah.
Yeah, Kadeem, whoever Carey
down south. I don't,
that
I don't,
guy.
I don't know those teams too well, but
get out of here. Man, what are you talking about?
That man down south is going to do something, I believe.
Because
he's a downhill runner. He's very a hard runner, hard to take down. He fights for the extra yards and he does what the team needs to do. So he was a great player I played against him 2 years, and he was hard to pretty stop sometimes.
He'll give you a little bit behind the scenes on him. He'll probably be a day two guy tomorrow. But tonight, NFL draft, we'll have plenty of content up on our site, sports360az.com. On AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, I'm Brad Sismat. Thanks to all the guests who jumped on board today. And again, there's plenty of great content for you to check out on sports360az.com, college, high school, pro, no particular order. Things that we see around the state of Arizona, where Arizona-centric, it's a little bit different than everybody else. That's what we're all about. Have yourself a great, great NFL draft day and night.